You are listening to Know You're Crazy. My name is Susan Dene. We all have crazy. What separates us is how we choose to deal with it. I'm going to be delivering engaging and actionable tools to own your crazy, treat your crazy, and turn it into your own superpower. I hope that you walk away from this show feeling the power and strength within you. And never forget to enjoy your journey because you are worth it. Crazy. My name is Susan Dene, and you are watching the Know You're Crazy talk show, where I am excited today to talk about emotional recovery in the raw because my guest is Ricky Stride. And Ricky identifies primarily as a wife, a mother to three, a homemaker, and a food detective. Food and fitness are her areas of perpetual curiosity, leading her to regularly dive into books on nutrition, as well as continuing education in physical therapy techniques and functional movement. She is a, and I forgot to ask you, do I pronounce it NASM or NASM? Mm-hmm. She is a NASM certified personal trainer, a health coach with the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and a high school track coach. Ricky's mission is to be an approachable resource to people of all ages within her community who are like-minded and similarly curious about nutrition, health, fitness, and strength. Ricky shares that the favorite part of her day is strength training in the gym, with the potential each day to meet and connect with a fellow gym member. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. It is
so good to have you.
It's really nice to be here.
Yeah, and I think you fulfilled your bio because that's how I met you.
That is true. And that is a regular thing for me, and I love it. For being an introvert, it's amazing how much I love that, meeting people like you who walk up to me and just say, hey, let's talk.
Well, I'll tell you what inspired me about Ricky. So, or inspired about you was I'm sitting in the gym. I'm doing some weightlifting, some free weights. And I look over and I see this woman, approximately probably my age. And she's got this barbell with these huge weights. I'm curious how much weight you were lifting that day. I mean, it looks huge. And it's a, remind me of the name of the squat.
Oh, I was doing Jefferson squat.
Jefferson squat. And it was so impressive that your stature, your form, everything was spot on.
Thank you.
And I just was watching you and I was like, I got to talk to her because that is somebody who knows what she's doing.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And so that's what inspired me to come up and talk to you. And because of the show, I'm always eager to speak with somebody who is an expert in the health area. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, as most of you know, who've been watching the show, I share on emotional recovery and just life really. In four key areas, and it's our career, our health, our relationship, and our finances. And so when I saw you, I was intrigued, and that's what started the conversation. Mm-hmm. And then like most things, we see each other at the gym a few times now. That was the first time we ever met.
Right.
And we both, how long have you been going to that gym?
I'm going to go with about 14 years.
Oh my goodness. And so I've been there 7 years and that's the first time we met.
I'm sure we've crossed paths and didn't even know it.
Maybe.
My husband says I walk around life with blinders on. And I think it's just that I don't want people to think that I'm watching them in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of just do my own thing until somebody comes up and like elbows me. Hey, let's talk. And then of course I'm happy to talk. So that's good that you look around and just learn from other people.
Well, I think that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's really important. And so we're going to totally dive into the uncomfortableness people can experience when they first go to the gym.
Oh yeah.
The initial trepidation that we may have, and not just with the gym, but any group activity that you're joining into.
Yeah.
Most of the audience knows that, you know, I've been in recovery from addiction and alcoholism for this month. I celebrate 21 years but part of that is also finding your community, finding out who inspires you, who has something that you want. And so really how important it is to enmesh yourself almost in the type of people that you want to become.
Correct.
Or that you are.
Correct.
Right. And it helps with that motivation. In fact, the other day we were in the gym and we were actually talking about the importance of that, of being able to connect with people who are like-minded.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm interested. What made you change it up? Was it 14 years ago? like, what's the story? How is it for you now today, working out, taking care of yourself, busy mom, health enthusiast, nutrition, I mean, all of these things, like what is your experience?
So that was not a time of change for me when I joined what was Gold's Gym, which is now 425.
Yeah.
I had just leapt from one gym to this one just because I wanted a bigger gym. The one that I was at was pretty small. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, you know, it's time. The rate was good. But I would say a big transformational point for me was just letting myself be okay and be confident with I can run. So I had been a gym goer. I had hired personal trainers starting at age 20, kind of gave it up for a bit, had kids. I mean, a lot happened in between there, but had kids. And then once my kids started kind of getting back into school, I thought, you know, I'm going to get back into this gym thing. But then I kind of plateaued and I kind of got this bug in me to, you know, maybe I can run. And I'd never been a runner. Cardio was always really tough for me. I get a really accelerated heart rate under stress. And at times it just goes through the roof. And I always told myself, I can't run. I can't do that kind of thing. But I started running half marathons at about age 40. So like, what is that? 2011 or so. Yeah. Like, what year was that? And I guess what happened went through that process is just going, you know, I don't feel any more fit. I just feel hungry all the time. And then I even started gaining a little bit of weight because I felt so hungry. And then just realizing, hey, running 5 miles only burns 500 calories. You can't add an extra 1,000 calories of consumption and expect to burn it off. So then I just, I would say that the next big thing was just meeting at a running expo, a nutrition coach. Her name was Amy Gallo. She runs Vibrance Nutrition. And she asked if she could sign me up for a newsletter. I got on her newsletter and she gave so much information, free content to people who she sent her newsletter to about things like the hormone insulin, the hormone cortisol that I'd never even knew about.
So informative.
Yeah. And I just, it was one of those things where it just, I gobbled it up. I'm sure other people read it and just went, oh, whatever. But I read it and I went, whoa, this explains so much.
I did the same thing.
It explains.
I did the same thing.
It's like your eyes have been opened. And then I just asked her, you know, this is so great. What else should I read? And so she recommended some authors. And next thing I know, I'm just one book after another. Just, this is so amazing. But then, of course, as I've explained to you at some of our talks in the gym, you feel sometimes like you read so much that then you just go, this guy conflicts with this guy, but yet they all sound so plausible. Yep. And so just finding what works for me. And that's been the last 5 to 6 years. It's just finding out, even though ketogenic is amazing for some people, it doesn't work for me. Even though veganism works for some people, it doesn't work for me. And just figuring it
out. That is, so I'm trying, like, as I'm listening to you, I've got questions. So I'm going to back up to the marathon runner. What kind of training? I've only known one other person that's really dedicated their time to marathon running. And it was my old neighbor. He moved away, but he was saying the training is completely like, it's different, right?
It's like a part-time job.
You
spend a lot of time.
Yeah. But, and so the calorie intake. And you were 40 at that time. And so as we, you know, as you guys know, the title of the show was Strength and Fitness After 40, because I had started back to the gym at 40 or returning back to physical fitness at 40, similar reasons to you. Children were older, you know, whatever the calling is. And so at that point, as you were noticing, was the body changing? Was that surprising to you? Like noticing, for example, the calories. Well, one, the imbalance, obviously, of what you're burning and what you're taking in. So there's always that. But then also, as we start talking about hormone and cortisol and all these important factors and being a, in our case, women, body's changing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so what was your experience with that factor as far as the aging process, the hormone levels? Like if you can share some of that.
I can definitely share that around that time, I was noticing that the techniques that used to work for me to maintain my weight weren't working anymore. It used to be all it would take is a simple day of just kind of scaling back on, maybe don't have sugar for the day, have a lighter dinner than usual. And then the next day I'm like, boom, the jeans fit again.
Yeah.
And then around, I would say, age 40 to 42, I started noticing that it was the simplest like hiccup that would make me gain weight.
Yeah.
You know, going out with a friend and having birthday cake or something yeah. like that. It would take me a week to recover and seriously yeah. get back into the jeans again.
Yeah.
And I mean, and that's not an exaggeration either. And so just, it felt that my body was punishing me for small little
mm-hmm.
things that I did, but then not rewarding me for
all the work.
So I would say that that definitely was what propelled me into, okay, long distance training or mm-hmm. long distance running yep. is not working for me.
Yep.
And that definitely coincided with learning about cortisol. And so cortisol, for yep. those of your viewers who don't know it, is our stress hormone. And it's activated through life stress. You know, you're going through mm-hmm. a divorce, something like that. A loved one dies. It can be work stress, or it can be stress that you impose on yourself in the form of running or cardio, mm-hmm. like high heart rate for anything more than about 40 minutes. So most things that I've read have said that if you keep your cardio below mm-hmm. about 40 minutes, it's healthy. It's good for your heart. Yep. It builds your heart. Once you get past about 40 minutes, your body starts feeling like, okay, is the lion that's chasing us ever going to go away? Yeah. Because I'm getting worried now. And so that elevation of cortisol does kind of put you into fat storage mode.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I had learned about that and I was thinking, well, maybe that's why running for hours, not mm-hmm. every day, but when I did yeah, run, it would be for mm-hmm. hours, isn't working for me. And so I guess I don't know exactly how I started learning more about just strength training mm-hmm. and just building up muscle. But it was around that time yeah. that I went, I'm going to head back into the gym and just yep. start doing more heavy stuff. And it was in 2017 that my oldest son was graduating from high school. And so that would make my kids 17, 15, and 11 at the time. And they really, while they need me, they don't need me 24 yeah. hours a day. And exactly. so I thought, okay, now's the time. I'm going to do something. So I attended a 6-month course in basically how to become a personal trainer, which is not necessary. You can become mm-hmm. a certified personal yeah. trainer by studying and passing a test. But yeah. I wanted to learn more. I wanted to learn from trainers. So in 2017, went through 6 months of training and then passed my exam to become, NASM is National Academy of Sports Medicine.
Thank you.
And uh-huh. it's so much easier to say NASM. And I loved it. I realized at that time, I really, really, really loved feeling strong.
I had a hunger for it.
Yeah. And it gave me way more positive vibes than just running.
What I really love about all of that is, so one, I'm going to relate and then I'll tell you what I love about it. So when my whole story was when I turned 40 mm-hmm. and the kids were older to where, you know, the timing and everything was good. My story was I don't know what sparked it, but I thought I really want to live a long life, like 120 years old. I want to live this out all the way. And then I thought, well, what's it going to require for your body?
Mm-hmm.
Because being older or even living to 100, but being frail and weak and full yeah. of health issues yeah. is not really something to look
That's
forward
not really
to.
Living.
So, all right. So what am I going to have to do to make that happen? And the mm-hmm. one thing that popped in my head was you need to get strong.
Yeah.
And then start learning about diet and all these things, right? Mm-hmm. But so similar to you, I had a hunger for it. And so once I started going back, I hired the personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important to advocate. I think it's important to advocate, you know, when if I want to get good at something, it's good to hire somebody who knows ahead of time what's good to do and what's not good to do. And it gives you somebody, like, I don't know about if you ever experienced this, but it kind of made me feel more comfortable with the equipment.
Oh, yeah.
It made me feel more comfortable with what I was doing. I didn't feel like the crazy one out on the gym floor. I mean, it's already, you know, kind of, it can be intimidating to go there anyway, in the very beginning anyway.
Yeah.
So what I was saying about what I loved about you explaining that was the hunger, because I was just talking with somebody today and she was looking to go into another direction with a certain area of her life to look further into. But using it as an exploration, using it as something fun and exciting mm-hmm. to learn about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't have to just be, oh my God, I got to get to the gym today. Like, you know, I don't want to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. I dread it, or I don't want to go running today. I don't want to go walk outside by myself. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, all these things. But if it's used as an exploration, what can I do to learn more about this to pique my interest, but then also build the confidence?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely want to key in on that, the confidence building part of it, because a lot of people will say things like, I hate the gym, and I don't think they really hate the gym. I think they just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So they go in and they maybe see what other people are doing. And depending on what gym you're in, you can see people doing some pretty daunting things. I mean, I don't know about you, but some of those guys lifting a lot of weight with deadlift, I go, that looks scary and I don't want to do that. Or you just see people doing really simple things, you know, bicep curls or something. But a trainer really is, I feel, a big part of their job is making you comfortable. Yeah. And then that means that you as the client need to ask a ton of questions. Why am I using this apparatus versus that apparatus? Like, why, we just did row over here seated. Why are we now doing standing row? You know, just like all kinds of different stuff.
So I'm going to just throw this out there right now. So as we're talking about, you know, tips and strategies and being strong and healthy after 40, so a couple of things have been mentioned already. Get somebody to help you in the gym, whether that's a personal trainer, maybe it's a buddy you got that knows the gym, somebody who knows the ropes. If financially that's not something that's in your budget, but you still want to go, as you had mentioned, the gym memberships are relatively cheap now. I mean, like 20, 30 bucks
that's
a
not
month.
Bad at
I
all.
Mean, that's not much.
And they're
at
even
all.
Month to month. It used to be, you had to sign a year contract.
Yeah, no
now.
More contracts. You just, you know, you pay your 30 bucks a month. You do what you want to do.
Give it a try. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so one, they're affordable. Two, see if you can get somebody there. And, you know, because they're so affordable, that's one of the reasons why I was able to hire a trainer.
Yeah.
And I only did a half hour a week.
Yeah.
And I paid that. And then I think I saw him for a year. I just went the whole year.
That's great.
And to take that in. And then what was the other thing you said? Being comfortable with what you're doing, take an assessment of the gym, be, you know, the things you're finding intimidating. So anyways, I wanted to point out the couple tips that we've thrown out.
Yeah.
You know, hire a personal trainer.
If possible.
Get educated.
Yeah.
You know. And then the other thing that popped in my head when you were sharing was the ease at which we can find education now about lifting. I know when I came up to you that day about the Jefferson lift, you had said there was some great YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And some great instruction online.
True. But you have to at least have a starting point. So for me, I had never heard of the Jefferson squat before, even though I feel like I know most things to do in the gym.
Yeah.
But I had heard of it through, and this is a pretty different topic. Let me know if I'm going off the rails, but through Ben Patrick's program, he founded a company called ATG, which is Athletic Truth Group. And he goes by the name Knees Over Toes Guy. And you can find him on YouTube, Knees Over Toes and Toes Guy. He has a lot of great content, but I love what he does. He basically is just wanting to get people strong in all their joints, ankles, knees, hips, so that they can live to be 120 and still be moving. And so I've known about him for years, and I was kind of just looking over his website one day, and I was seeing that he does coaching, or I guess he educates people to be coaches for his program, level one ATG coach, level two, level three. And I was wondering if that could benefit me as a track coach, because obviously when you have kids who are running 6 days a week, they get knee pain, they get ankle pain, et cetera, et cetera. So I was looking into it, but the website didn't tell me as much as I wanted to know. So it says, click here to send an email to our help. So I click here, somebody calls me back. Next thing I know, I'm on a Zoom call with a coach, an ATG coach from, I think, Australia or Austria, one of those big difference between the two, but I can't remember which one.
Yeah, starts with an A.
But he, but I go, look, I'm a 51-year-old woman.
Yeah.
Is it crazy for me to imagine being a level one coach? I mean, we're talking just bare level one coach, because if this can help my athletes, you know, tell me more about it. And so he was talking to me about what would be the requirements to basically pass, you know, to be a coach. And I had like 15 minutes with him, and he rattles off a bunch of stuff, and I didn't even have time to ask a ton of questions, but he says, Jefferson squat. He goes, you need to be able to do a Jefferson squat without bending too much or like rounding of the back. And so I'm just making notes, and I'm like, we'll look that up later. And so that then turned into me watching a ton of videos on Jefferson squat. And I went, and that's great. And the reason why you and I, or one of the things you and I talked about, is how I've had to give up barbell back squatting because of sciatica, which then led to spine surgery. And my spine surgeon's like, no more you know.
And that was one of the things that intrigued me about you, because I have a lower back issue. Don't know what I did, but it has gradually, you know, put me into physical therapy, had to do all these things. And so here we are talking about getting healthy and strong after 40, and the body is now experiencing things, maybe as a result of prior years of either being athletic, or let's just say being hard on the body, or maybe there was a car accident or something that's happened with the body. And now it just hurts to work out.
Yeah.
And that can really zap the enthusiasm.
Oh, heck yeah. Because, and I mean, that's one thing though, that I am, that makes me happy to know as much as I do. Cause I go, well, if I can't do that anymore, then I'm going to do that. You know, if I can't barbell back squat, I'll find Jefferson squats. But, just getting back to one of your points about like, what did we do? I was not athletic as a kid. I did not, I was not hard on my body as a kid. I kind of wonder if I maybe got into weight training too late, and maybe there is no too late, but I jumped into it with both feet and with really heavy weight. Maybe too late, but the discs in our back, they just age,
they just deteriorate.
So when you look at the MRI of my back, and my spine doctor is pointing out these areas where they kind of look dehydrated, I think, or just less squishy, and I go, well, what do I do? And he goes, nothing, you're at the time, that's, you know, it's like 46, 47 years old. He's like, you're aging and you can only do so much to prevent that aging. So basically, just knowing your limits. And then for me, it's always just trying to find workarounds. Well, if I can't do that thing, like I can't deadlift heavy anymore. And so I deadlift light and I go painfully slow. Like I'm just really slow paced, just everything is locked in. My lats are pulled down. My core is engaged, really light, but really slow, or do it on an unstable surface with one leg. And you just find ways,
you know, you mentioned something. I should probably pay attention to see if we've got to take a break. I knew that I was going to get into this conversation though. So let's see. I think we, all right, we're just going to go. so the couple things you mentioned, so, and one, I remember the other tidbit that we brought up that I had forgotten about. Ask lots of questions. That
yeah,
was,
oh yes.
Ask that was lots of questions, because questions are the curiosity. Questions are going to get you answers. Don't be shy.
You're paying for the time.
Own your adulthood. I say that all the time. Yeah. Like, this is your experience. Own it. Own
and
it.
There are you're no, paying for there it. There are no stupid questions. If you're only getting 30 minutes with a trainer, don't spend it in silence. I mean, definitely do what they ask of you, but then just kind of be like, why are we doing this versus that? I mean, just whatever question comes to mind. You get 30 minutes with this person, 40 minutes.
Yeah. So, okay. So for you with the back problems that you had, did that put you into physical therapy?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I didn't go from I'm in pain to having surgery.
So that's where I currently am. So when I work out now, I spend like the first half hour doing stretching and physical therapy, which is a change, which is a change, right? Like that was something as I got older and stuff started hurting. But when I got a fantastic physical therapist in Bellevue, she was fantastic. I love telling this story. I had been to one physical therapist and she was great too. But they had a very big open gym. It was kind of real fancy, you know, it's a nice place. And they did some great work with me. They had a variety of specialists there that I would see. But this woman, I got recommended to her from my spine lady.
Okay.
Right. Totally hammering their anyway.
Whatever their title is.
Yeah. Spine lady. So really good spine lady. Referred me to a physical therapist. And this lady, it was so fantastic. I walk in, the office is quiet. It almost feels like a, I don't even know. I want to say like a therapist office. Like you walk in and all the doors are shut and everything's real quiet. They got the magazine sitting there and I'm thinking, am I in the right place? And then, you know, this really kind woman opens the door and she's like, oh, come on in. And I walk into this tiny little office, probably not bigger than this shack. And all the equipment's kind of shoved in there. And then she starts like showing me the intricacies of every single muscle and where I'm at and how to bend and the positioning. And this is where I wanted to go with this, because as a woman also who's given birth to three children, I totally had confused the difference between a abs and my core.
Right.
And I heard you mention core and strengthening the core.
Yeah.
And it started making sense to me. Like, you know, you think you pick up on, you know, I don't even know. But all the times I was at the gynecologist mm-hmm. and he'd talk about Kegels right. and core building. And this woman was fantastic in explaining all of that.
That's awesome.
But how important it is, especially if you've given birth or you've had children,
yeah.
About strengthening the core, right. not just
the six pack.
Total difference in my workouts.
Yeah.
Difference good. In your how you hold your body.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I know our core is so important. And that's the other thing that personal trainers learn is that you always start with that stability phase with clients.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just don't come in and then you're like, we're working back today. It's like you always,
yeah.
you determine their core weaknesses,
mm-hmm.
which includes the pelvis too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you just strengthen from there. Cause once you're strong here, all mm-hmm. the way around, like you said, not just the
yeah.
front, then you, the world's your oyster. Once you're strong in the core,
yeah,
everything can be built from there.
Yeah. And I would say that I have noticed just for myself, and I think that started the work with her, what are we in July? I think I may have started seeing her the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
But even in that short amount of time, I can feel less back pain.
Yes.
And the one thing she said to me, and she says, you know, you got to do this every day. I thought, oh my God, I don't want to do it every day. And I can tell a difference when I'm not doing it every day. But that was one of the key things. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. I would say that one thing that is probably universally true for everybody is just, you can't go wrong with strengthening your lower back.
Yeah.
You know, doing back extensions just for starters. Just
yeah.
strengthening that back and the glutes.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but when I started getting the back pain, when I started, you know, researching online,
mm-hmm.
it was like a crazy percent of people who experienced lower back pain.
Oh, it's,
I mean, it was through the roof.
Oh yeah. By the time
like
you
everybody.
Get to be 40, it's like 75% of adults or something. Like,
everybody.
Yeah. It's, and, well, a lot of us,
yeah.
we sit, I mean, we have a very
we
sitting,
sit. Yeah.
and so in other cultures where they're required to maybe walk to work or bike or whatever, there's
mm-hmm.
just more movement. And so we have a very convenient culture that just allows us to sit and still
yeah.
get a lot done. And so sitting is really, and that's the one thing my spine doctor told
mm-hmm.
me is that sitting really is the worst thing for your
yeah.
back.
Yeah.
You know, if
and
possible,
yeah,
stand.
It's how you use everything.
Yeah. yeah. So, and I noticed that now because anytime we do any type of road trip,
mm-hmm.
I am the first to be like, can we get up? Can we stop
yeah.
the car? And I just hate it. It just, I'm so like,
mm-hmm.
I can't
yep.
do it.
I've learned all of that also. Okay. So I think we're about ready to go to a break. But when we come back, there's a couple things that spark. One, I want to move into food and nutrition.
Okay.
You have a fantastic website.
Thank you.
And I thoroughly enjoyed accessing it yesterday
so
and
happy.
Talking about some of your recipes. That was totally cool. But I want to talk about nutrition.
Okay.
Some things that you have found successful for you, either recently or even over the last, you know, 5-10 years, whatever's worked best for you. Because,
right.
we will talk about the experimenting back and forth. Might even go into some of the lower back tidbits as far as some different things that I was probably shown to do.
Yeah.
And probably you have some stuff in there too.
Exactly.
And then what's most important, you know, at some point in the show, we're going to talk about just the emotional game that can be either if you have to overcome the emotional game, the mental game, as far as, you know, finding the willingness and the wherewithal to get there and start working out or to start taking care of your health is really
yeah.
what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So having said all of that, we will be back shortly with more information. See you soon.
Are you living life, or is life living you? The destination may not be clear when we seek change, but we trust we cannot stay where we are. Healing and transformation coach Trish Campbell strengthens the mind-body-spirit connection. Diane McClay generates positive change by shifting perspective through choice. Get connected and gain clarity on The Shift podcast every first and third Friday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com. Visit invibe.ca for more info.
Patricia McNair, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia. and I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that our whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
Everyone, welcome back to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. I am here with Ricky Stride, and we are talking a bit about being healthy, strong, and fit after 40. The first half hour just blew by. The whole hour is going to be like that, I'm sure, because there are so many things to talk about. And we've talked anything from, you know, when you're wanting to get healthy and fit, how important it is to surround yourself in the community of people that are on the same game as you. They're practicing the same things. They have something that you want. I had given an example of just recovery for a lot of times in alcoholism and addiction. When we recover, we find our community. We find people that have something that we want. They show us the way, and then we follow, and then eventually become good at it and give it back. Similar to anything that you do. But when it comes to health and fitness, and the example we were talking about, because we met at the gym, was just how key that can be in putting yourself in that energy around people who are focused on the same thing. Yeah. And a couple tidbits of, tidbits of advice, if that's what I want to say, that we were giving was, you know, gym memberships are cheap anymore. They're less than 30 bucks a month. They're on a month to month. They're no longer contracts. Mm-hmm. Hiring a personal trainer can go a long way in educating you on equipment and really just helping you feel comfortable. And then one thing that you mentioned that I thought was really important was ask lots of questions, you know, utilize the tool that you're putting in front of yourself. And then something I threw in there was the effectiveness of being able to go online and really research, like if you're looking at YouTube videos or different workouts, and you had given the feedback of how important it is to, you know, make sure that when you're researching these things, you've kind of got to lead into why you're looking into that particular exercise. Usually there's something that's been behind it. And you had given an example of a coach that you had been talking to, and that's what had led you to that Jefferson squat.
And then knowing that when you are looking up something such as Jefferson squats, know what a good source is. And that's going to be tough for people who aren't really familiar with how to search in that area. But I know that bodybuilding.com is a great one. They're not going to steer you wrong, and because you don't want to be following the advice of somebody who really doesn't know what they're doing. So
that's a great reference.
So that's a tough one. I can't rattle them all off right now, but just
but that's one that you found.
Yeah, bodybuilding.com is a good one. Alan Thrall is also amazing. That's first name Alan, last name Thrall. He's really great at coaching things, you know, even the clean, which not like people watching this might be interested in knowing how to do cleans and power cleans and hang cleans, but it's just an example of how he'll break down things into pieces. And you know, you want to be following the guidance of somebody who really knows
knows what they're doing. A gentleman that I have followed and that I've recommended to many people was Thomas DeLauer. And so this will be a nice segue into the next section that we're going to talk about, which is nutrition, health, different things, strategies that you may find. I know that you and I both have something in common, and that is really experimenting with different types of diets, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
And finding out that some work, some don't, and it really has to be a unique, almost like a unique branding for you and your body type and what works. And so I'm interested in diving into this with you. And so I just got to put this in there before I don't want to forget, but Ricky has this fantastic website and she's so, I love people with humility. So I'm just going to tell this story. So I meet Ricky and she's like, you know, I was a certified trainer and, you know, I'm seeing this fantastic, you know, body form at the gym. I'm like, okay. And then we get to talking to get ready for the show. And she's like, well, I don't really have any, you know, but I got this website. I look at her website. This is the most fantastic recipe.
Oh, it's too kind.
No, it's genuine. It was fantastic. In fact, yesterday for 4th of July, I went all comfort food, by the way. I was having company over.
My website is good for that.
And but it's got great ingredients. And that's what I noticed. And so after me myself studying stuff for the last 5 to 6 years about MCT oils, healthy fats, different alternatives for sugar. So the body's processing it differently. You know what I mean? Like all of that in your recipes. Hold all that in
some
there.
Of them, the whole sugar. The, some you, of them. When you look some in the sweet do. Category, I definitely have sugars, but yeah.
But it's general. Not, yeah, but you've also got some really natural, I mean, good stuff in there. So I made the cornbread, I made the mac and cheese,
yay.
And I did some gluten-free options, which your recipes worked really well with.
That's good.
I only had to modify a little bit,
yeah.
Which I was impressed with that because I'm not used to really cooking gluten-free that much. It's just something I'm doing right now. It's been recommended to me by my naturopath to do that for gut. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And brain fog. That was one of the, you know, because inflammation. Right. Yeah. So anyways, but your recipes were fantastic. So, I just wanted to get that out there.
That's great. Because as my website on the homepage says, it just started out as a means to share my recipes with my son when he was in school and needing to cook for himself. And I was hoping that he would cook for himself instead of doing Uber Eats every night. So I just started compiling a bunch of recipes. I just typed them up, took pictures of them when I was making them. And, it turns out to be a great resource because of all these cookbooks that I have on the shelf. Sometimes my husband's like, where's the one with that one recipe?
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to do that anymore. You just go to the website, just type in search for zucchini and it'll tell you every page on that has zucchini. And so it mostly is something that I've used within my family, but sure enough, I know people and I tell them about, you know, I'll bring something over to their home and share it. This is great. Where's the recipe? I'm like, thestrides.com. And so people are going there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to add to it more. I just made a recipe the other day and as soon as I made it, I typed it up. So I will tell you that I always give credit if I take the recipe from somebody else's website because I don't deserve the credit for that. But I'll tell you what drives me bananas about people's blogs is that it starts out with a really long dialogue and there's a pop-up video and click here. And then I'm like, where is the recipe?
I was scrolling on my phone, like, okay, where's the ingredients?
And things are flashing.
Things are flashing.
So I just want the recipe. I just want people, I want to get the recipe to people and just use the recipe. I don't need to make money off this. Just here's the recipe. So I'm really glad you enjoyed it.
It was fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, easy to read.
Oh yeah.
In fact, I was on my phone in the kitchen when I was doing it and I thought, I wonder if it's mobile friendly, totally mobile friendly.
Right. Yeah.
Easy. Yeah.
So, no pop-ups.
And I love your explanations and you are 100% honest with the fact that you do not take credit for anything else. You'll be like, I got this recipe off of this. I modified X and Y or whatever.
That's what it is. Maybe I make a few modifications, but in general, TashasKitchen.com deserves credit for the Philly cheesesteak sandwich recipe.
Yeah.
You know, like she is the one who, so
anyway,
that was a pretty long offshoot, but I just wanted to say that I'm so happy that you enjoy the website.
Oh, it was great. And so I definitely wanted to give you kudos on that. So having said all that, what are some of the best nutrition things that worked for you that you've learned about over the last several years?
Oh, I would say first and foremost, just getting rid of anything that's processed.
Yeah.
Just as much as possible, just sticking to just basic ingredients.
So give me an example of processed in case somebody's literally like, okay, well, is this processed? Is that processed?
Absolutely. Like, yeah. I mean, if it comes in a box, that's usually a dead giveaway, but I would say anything that's like pasta based, flour based. I mean, flour is a processed food. It's a wheat plant that's been ground into something that then we turn into something else. But I would say that those are the two biggest things is like pasta and wheat. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just stick to basic ingredients, you know, as much as possible, just stick to meats, vegetables, some fruits. And you can't really go wrong with that.
So you keep, so mainly, you know, and this is old saying, but keep to the outside of the grocery store.
Yeah. The perimeter. Right?
The
exactly.
Perimeter.
When because those tend to be the perishable areas. Like I know in the grocery store I go to, there's dairy along the back and eggs. And then when you keep moving back, there's meat and then there's produce. And so everything in the center tends to be more of the, you know, the crackers and the cereals.
was that you don't have to have cereal for breakfast. I mean, fry up a couple eggs and slice up a quarter of an avocado and put some salt on it. And
okay, you guys, slow down. You see, that is something, if I was watching this show right now, I'd be like, what did she just say? I'm going to take notes on that. Okay, so just repeat that.
Seriously,
that was good.
The simplest breakfast that I have probably 4 times a week is just cut an avocado in half, cut it in half again, you got a fourth of an avocado. Mm-hmm. Slice into very thin slices, sprinkle a little bit of sea salt, fry up 2 eggs in mm-hmm. MCT oil,
yep.
salt those a little bit. If you're a black pepper person, put black pepper on it.
Yep.
Put the slightly runny yolked eggs on top, like on top mm-hmm. of the avocado, and then yep. just, oh,
I know.
So delicious.
So, okay. So I'm going to break this down. Okay. MCT oil. Why is that important to you?
It's important because it can be, you can use it at any temperature of cooking, unlike some other, so olive oil is a good example mm-hmm. of something that is a great product, but yep. once you cook it, it gets to a certain temperature and mm-hmm. it becomes oxidized, and then your body, it's not as good in your body.
Yep.
Because then you've heated an oil that is best served cold. Mm-hmm. So olive oil, use it for salad dressings and stuff yeah. like that. MCT oil has a pretty high smoke point. So mm-hmm. you can cook, you can fry a pretty hot pan with MCT oil in it, and that oil remains healthy for you.
I just learned something because I haven't thought about cooking like in a pan with MCT oil. So I've used avocado oil for the same reason, higher burning point, I think. Higher than olive oil anyway.
Higher, but not as good as MCT oil.
But not as good as MCT oil. And I never considered cooking with MCT oil.
Absolutely.
So cool.
And it's flavorless, so it's perfect. Yeah. It is yeah. the perfect oil because of being flavorless. So it is derived from coconuts. So mm-hmm. coconut oil, though, when you just have standard coconut oil, it is mostly solid at room temperature.
Yeah.
And it has a coconut flavor. You don't yeah. want everything yeah. you're eating to taste like coconuts. But MCT oil derived from coconuts, but just somehow refined down to the point of being, you can cook at high heats with it. It doesn't oxidize mm-hmm. and it has no flavor. So it's perfect for
yeah.
all types of cooking.
And I noticed your bulletproof coffee recipe. Mm-hmm. And so that's one, mine was very similar to yours. I think the only difference might be I add a little bit of salt to mine.
Okay.
And that was about it for, mm-hmm. you know, to help with the minerals in the body or whatever, some Himalayan salt.
Yeah.
So how have you found using healthy fats beneficial to you?
Well, they're definitely satiating.
Yeah.
Because if you are a person who's primarily getting by on mostly just carbs and proteins,
yep.
When I ate that way, I don't even know how long ago, mostly carb and protein and really trying to limit fat because mm-hmm.
yep.
being a youngster in the 80s,
yep. Yep.
it's almost like I have an endless appetite.
Mm-hmm.
And so, especially if you're mostly focusing on carbs and not even a ton of protein.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to limit fat, you just kind of never really feel full. I
yeah.
shouldn't say you, me. I didn't yeah. never really feel full.
Yeah.
But having, when you add in, like I was saying, the avocados for breakfast and eating eggs with their yolk instead mm-hmm. of like the 80s was all about
yeah.
just only eat the whites.
And are you, so I know for me, my egg purchase, I always go for pasteurized.
Correct.
Pastured, sorry. Mm-hmm. But always focusing in on that to get the healthiest type of egg possible.
And for ethical reasons to the animal.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of where I'm mm-hmm. at is I want to, if I'm going to be a meat eater, which I imagine I will be for the rest of my life, I want to at least feel good about the
yeah.
animal having a decent life.
Yeah.
So as much as possible, sticking yep. with the pastured. And then of course, pastured eggs are going to come from animals, hens that mm-hmm. are on their natural diet. They're not being...
Yeah.
fed corn and soy,
exactly.
which then turns into you eating basically corn and soy from their eggs.
Right,
they're out there digging
the most toxic foods,
digging grubs out of the ground. You know, like we want yeah. that animal to be eating its natural diet and then producing the healthiest eggs, which then turns into the healthiest food for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, the pastured component of it, that's something in the last 5 years I've really, or maybe more, just
yeah.
really focused in on, like not eating.
And you can tell the difference. You look
you
at
can.
An egg. Right. You,
yeah.
you get the two different
oh,
qualities.
They're bright orange with
they're
a
bright
good
orange.
Egg and then they're like
yeah.
pale yellow and sad looking with the caged hen. So,
yeah.
So yeah, that's a big focus in our family. It's just feeling good about being meat eaters because
mm-hmm.
we buy from a farmer who raises his cattle on pasture
yeah.
and these, I mean, they're not crammed into pens
yep.
and stuff like that.
Yeah. 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 The whole grass fed like all the way through.
As much as possible.
Not just the label that says grass-fed. Yeah. It has to be all the way through.
I mean, as much as possible. Granted, when we go out to eat or if I go to a friend's house, I'm not a snob about that. Mm-hmm. You know, I just got to, 95% of my food is eaten at home. So I have control over it. The other 5% of the time I'm on vacation, I'm not going to be quizzing the waiter on what kind of life the cow
I have. Yeah, I'm right there with you. Yeah.
You do what you can. And that brings me to another good point about food in general is don't expect yourself to be 100% all the time. Give yourself a little bit of grace. I would say if possible, 90% of the time, do what you think is the right thing, the best thing. 10% of the time, just kind of let go. You know? I mean, you have to be able to go out with a friend and have something.
Something that's enjoy life.
Right.
Enjoy life. Don't micromanage
just
all of it.
Don't turn it into 50% of the time.
Yeah,
just do what you can.
Okay. So I want to get your feedback on fasting.
Okay.
And do you utilize it? How do you utilize it? Did you at once no longer do it? Like, what is your experience with fasting?
I have given it a try at multiple times in my life. I would say it mostly doesn't work for me. And that is because I reach a point of hunger that it's comfortable at the time. But then when I do eat after a long period of fasting, I get pretty bad stomach aches.
Yeah.
So it's not worth it to me.
Yeah.
And also the times that I tried it, it hasn't really felt beneficial. I know some people say they reach these amazing level of
clarity.
Energy. Yeah. Of something.
Yeah.
I never felt that. So I would say what works best for me is just to, as much as possible, which is almost every day, just stop eating about 4-ish hours before I go to bed.
Okay. That was going to be my next question.
Yeah. I just,
is when you cut off. So for you, is that like about 6 or 7?
Yeah.
Evening?
6 or 7. And then because I go to bed by about 11 and currently, and it's just, it's the way I sleep best because if I eat too close to bedtime, I can actually wake up with acid reflux.
Yeah.
It's like being horizontal with food in my stomach processing.
Yeah.
So then if I eat too close to bedtime, then I have to prop myself up with pillows and I'm not as comfortable. So I stop about 4 hours.
Before. Yeah.
And that works really well because I sleep well. I'm not going to bed hungry. I'm not going to bed full.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fasting, I admire people who are able to do it. I mean, some people say that it's amazing. And if I only eat within a 6-hour window, I feel really great. And for me, if I wait too long, even though I don't ever get that hangry phase that some people will talk about, I can handle that. Like right now I'm very hungry. I can feel it. It's not bothering me. But if I keep waiting and waiting and waiting, then when I do eat, it's almost like my stomach just goes, what the heck? So it doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
I wish I could say it did.
My experience with it is, I don't know if I've ever had like the amazing clarity. I may have experienced some good energy days.
Okay.
I like to keep 12 hours from, like, I just keep that in the back of my mind, 12 hours between the last meal and when I eat the next day. And so sometimes if I eat last meal and I'll snack. So that's what gets me is all, you know, I'm going to snack on some dark chocolate, you know, at about 7:30, 8 o'clock watching a movie with my husband.
Yeah.
And that's where that'll get me. And so then I'm clocking, like in my head, I'm just aware, you know, 8 to 8, 12 hours. And then I'll work out fasted.
Right.
And so, which I am just used to, I've always done that. I didn't realize I was doing that. Like even when I started back to the gym, because I was going to the gym so early.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, the routine was what it was. And so I didn't realize I was always doing that. So that always worked out for me to work fasted. And
that's
so, and so I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to move on to the mental and the emotional. And I'm wondering, where are we at? 5:50. I think I probably missed that last break, didn't I?
Well, that's good. We don't need a break.
Maybe she can send me a chat. I don't know. Okay. Anyway. we were talking about when you're, what do you do to refuel after a workout?
Oh,
like what works for you? And I think you were talking, I'll just let you say what we were talking about at the gym yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my normal routine is that I wake up and within 30 minutes of waking up, I'm having that cup of coffee, which it is on my website, thestrides.com. It's like
don't even know what I called it. I probably called it bulletproof.
You did.
Because we do use bulletproof brand coffee, and then we've tweaked the recipe from what the author, Dave Asprey, recommends.
And the bulletproof coffee is important because of why?
Well, it's not because it's not just caffeine. It's almost like it's going to slow down the caffeine because it has the fat in it. So it has MCT oil or coconut oil and then unsalted butter. So it basically has like 20 grams of fat right there between those two. And it just kind of helps you metabolize the caffeine. If I just drink black coffee, I would be bouncing off the walls. And so the fat just helps slow down the metabolizing of it. And then it keeps you full because it's got 200 calories right there. So I'll have that first thing in the morning. Now, if I had a really light dinner the night before or an early dinner, maybe I need a couple eggs with a part of an avocado. Maybe I don't. But generally, I'll have coffee within about an hour of that, go to the gym. And then if I did not have breakfast with my coffee, I would come home from the gym and be hungry. And so I would want some protein because I want to replenish the protein that I, well, you don't burn off protein in the gym, but you're tearing down your muscles in the gym and you need protein to refuel. So I will either, if I'm feeling lazy, I'll do a protein shake. If I'm, if there's leftovers from last night, I'll have that protein, whether it's, you know, some barbecued meat or something. Generally it's a large salad too. So large salad with a little bit more avocado, olive oil, and balsamic vinegar. So it really depends. If I already have breakfast, then coming home from the gym usually just means wait 30 to 60 minutes, have a protein shake. If I come home from the gym, I'm hungry, it's a meal, which is salad protein.
Okay. And so when you're doing a protein shake, is it just a powder mix that you like? Do you throw anything in there with it? Like, what do you do?
I keep it simple because I don't really want my protein shake to be 500 calories. I want to have, because if I start doing that, then I'm skipping things like my salads. So today, today I did, I came home from the gym, had a very large salad, which is a dinner plate size torn up lettuce. And then I had some avocado on it, some feta cheese, balsamic vinegar, and olive oil. And then because I didn't have any protein already created from last night's dinner, I did a shake, which was just 8 ounces of unsweetened almond milk and two scoops of Primal Kitchen brand coconut vanilla whey powder. So it's like 20 grams of protein. So that, but if I'd had some protein already, like if I barbecue something the night before, I would throw that on top of the salad. So I keep my protein shake simple. I have a complicated, very filling protein recipe on my website, which is a meal replacement. Because it has so much in it.
It has avocado
in it. It has coconut shreds in it.
Like almond butter or anything like that.
I think I put on there as being an optional. So we're talking like 500-600 calorie shake. And that's a meal replacement. But sometimes I just want to eat. Like I want to eat real food. And then just the protein shake is necessary just because I need protein.
Okay. So one more question. I think you're going to have to send me a message on when I need to wrap up. So. So one more question. So when you have a sugar desire, what do you do?
Usually dark chocolate. And we keep that around. In fact, right now it's in my garage refrigerator because I'm tired of opening up the pantry and seeing it every time I open up the, because even though I think I'm not in the mood for chocolate in the middle of the day, if it's staring right at me,
I'd mind too.
But we do like 62 to 70%. And it's definitely sweet enough. If you have gotten off sugar and you're not eating sugar on a daily basis, dark chocolate is definitely sweet enough.
It really is. I do the same thing.
So, that's kind of it. I mean, if I'm really, I do bake. We tend to have these, oh, it's Father's Day if you want cheesecake, and I'll make a cheesecake and we'll eat it. But on a general basis, if I'm in the mood for something sugary, it's dark chocolate. And it's just plain dark chocolate. There's nothing else in
That's what I do. Yeah.
It's
what I
do. So can you just put it in your mouth and melt and it is perfect.
Okay. So trying to think about how to do this recap. So,
oh my goodness.
So much great information. I just want to really thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. It's been great.
If we were, if someone was to come over and say, well, let me ask you, are you currently taking clients? Nutrition coach or what do you got going on?
I definitely could be a nutrition coach because in 2015, I did go through the program for Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And so health coach, that opened up my eyes to a lot. And I would love to educate people on that. Currently, even though I am certified as a personal trainer, I would need to find a fitness facility to work out with somebody in. And I'm
putting my feelers out there. Yeah. I'm trying to find that. So yeah, people can reach out to me.
Well, nutrition, by the way, obviously, as you have shared with us today, you are all over it.
I love it.
The passion, I can tell.
Yeah.
So it would be great. If somebody wanted to reach out to you, mm-hmm. how would they get a hold of you?
So my email is on my website. So great. If you go to The Strides, it's just super easy. TheStrides.com. And then far right tab is just About Ricky. And then my email address is listed on there. And yeah, I just could talk endlessly about this. I can answer people's questions about it. Just, you know, how people, yeah. they want to know just how to get started.
That was going to be my next question before we have to wrap up, because I think I'm closing in on this. 2 minutes. So if somebody is sitting at home or they're listening to this and they're like, you know what, I just don't feel like doing anything at all, mm-hmm. ever. I know what I would say to them being an emotional elevation coach, but mm-hmm. what would you say to them based on your own life experience and it's, you know, knowing what you know, knowing the challenges that they may face or not face, like what would be a piece of feedback you'd give them?
So they don't, when you say, I don't want to do anything ever, is that because they feel inactive and they want
to
be moving?
Yeah, they've been in momentum going the other direction for a while, saying they just can't get up. They just, you know,
yeah,
this was...
They've hit bottom, I guess.
Yeah.
Basically, just start with walking for 15 minutes. You know, just get out and move, and hopefully just fresh air can help you. And try to say no to some processed food that you're eating that day. So try to take a break from sugar, like take a day off from sugar. And just take baby steps.
Yep.
You know, don't say something like, I'm going to run a marathon next year. Like, don't.
And I will add to that, and then we will wrap up the show. So I would add, as an emotional elevation coach, the piece that I would add to that is take a look at how many times you are telling yourself, I should be doing something. And when you're not doing it, you're shaming yourself.
Yeah.
So just pay attention and take notice of your accomplishments for the day.
Yeah.
And give yourself credit for that at the end of the
day. And do and accomplish something, you know.
That's right.
Like, it can be something small.
Take that 15-minute walk.
That's all it takes.
And feel accomplished.
Right.
So thank you so much for being here.
It was
here.
Great. I loved it. Thank you so
much. I know
much.
It flew by.
It did.
If anybody, you know how to get a hold of Ricky at her website, which again is
thestrides.com.
Thestrides.com. You know how to get a hold of me at www. So tells my age. SusanDenee.com. DNEE. You can email me there. Ricky is available for nutrition coaching. I'm always available on one-on-one emotional elevation coaching or high performance coaching. So reach out if you're interested in any of that. Otherwise, have a blessed evening and enjoy it, and all to you and your health. Thanks. See you next week.
You have been listening to Know You're Crazy.
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 And my name is Susan Denee. We are identifying, understanding, and treating your crazy one episode at a time. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. To connect with me or Growth Spurt Your Life, please visit SusanDenee.com. That's Susan Denee, DENEE.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.